In Matthew chapter 5, he said, Matthew 5, verse 17, "Don't think that I came to abolish the law." That Old Testament law, I have not come to cancel it. I came to fulfill every single jot and tittle in that Old Testament law. Because I tell you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one smallest, this is jot and tittle, not one smallest letter or stroke will pass from the law till all is accomplished. So if anyone cancels one of the least of these commandments, he will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But if you keep even the least commandment, he'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's why we teach in the church, even a small commandment like sisters must veil their heads when they pray or share the word. It's a very small commandment. It's not a big thing like don't commit murder or steal. Very, very small. But Jesus said, even heaven and earth will pass away, even the smallest commandment will not pass away. And not many churches care about the small commandments. They all, that's a small one. Jesus didn't take that attitude. He said, I came to fulfill the smallest commandment. Because when his ear was opened, the Father said, keep the smallest commandment. You understood that? Okay, now let's go to John chapter 8. The Pharisees caught a woman in adultery and brought him before Jesus and told him, verse 5, in the law, because they heard Jesus say, I won't even break one bit of the law. Moses commanded that such a woman should be stoned to death. Now my question is, who gave that commandment to Jesus, to Moses? Jesus, from heaven. 1500 years earlier, from heaven, he had told Moses, a woman who commits adultery must be stoned to death. 1500 years later, Jesus, the same Jesus comes to the earth and is confronted with the commandment that he gave to Moses. They don't know that this is the person who gave the commandment. They think this is some man from Nazareth. And what do you say, he says. And you know, Jesus was a human being like us in every way. He didn't have the prompt answer immediately. He waited. We have to wait to hear God. That's why it says here Jesus was scribbling on the ground. It's like, you know, sometimes we are thinking and you're scribbling on a piece of paper. We all do that sometimes. We are thinking, what should I do next, or what should I write next, or what should I say next? That's when he was stooping on the ground and just scribbling on the ground. What was he doing? He was hearing, Father, I don't know exactly what to say because these people are quoting a commandment in the from the Bible. And I don't want to break the commandment. Then he got a word. The one who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And he continued scribbling on the ground. And when they heard it, verse 9, why didn't somebody come forward and say, well, I haven't sinned? You know what would have happened? Jesus would have made a list of all the sins that guy had committed in his life. And they were scared. I better not say, because this guy will expose me. So from the oldest person, they walked out one by one till nobody was left. But there was one person left who had not committed sin. Jesus. He was qualified to throw a stone, to keep the law. He listened to the Father. And the Father said, let her go. Don't stone her. A government who passes a law in parliament has got every right to cancel it. And God who gives a law has got every right to change it. So he says, I don't condemn you. I'm qualified to throw a stone, but I won't throw it. Why was that? You know, that's the other mistake we can make. We can become so rigid, especially on other people. Be rigid with yourself, sure. But when giving a word to other people, be merciful. That's what I learned from here. There's a beautiful verse which I never forget. In James, in chapter 2. It's a little expression, just four words. Just four words. I would encourage all of you to remember it all your life. Four words. James chapter 2, verse 13. The last four words there. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Can you remember that? Meditate on it. It's like mercy and judgment are fighting with each other, and mercy wins. Always, in Jesus' case, you come into a situation, maybe with your children or somebody did wrong something and there's a need to, for judgment and this conflict goes on in my mind, what should I do? Let mercy triumph over judgment. Because I'll tell you that, if you live like that all your life, one day when you stand before the Lord will be merciful to you. He'll treat you exactly like you have treated other people in your earthly life. You know that I preach a very strict standard. Everybody who's heard me the last 50 years knows that. I don't lower any of the commandments. But I always seek, I mean, you'd be surprised to hear some of the situations where I have not enforced it, where I've allowed mercy to triumph over judgment. Number of cases. And I don't care. People say, look, see, Brother Zach's compromising here. You can say what you like. I've heard God. They could have told Jesus, you're compromising, man. You yourself said the person without sin should cross the first stone, and you gave the commandment says the woman should be stoned, and you let her go. Jesus was willing to be misunderstood. And there are situations where I have faced, I say, I don't care. This Zach who preaches such a high standard, he's letting this person go. Yes, I did let that person go. Because I heard from the Lord, mercy triumph over judgment. So, Jesus was not rigid, dotting the I and crossing the T and saying, it must be like this. Yeah, he kept the law down to the last detail. But see how he broke the Sabbath. It was their understanding of these people that don't do any work on the Sabbath. But he would heal the sick person. That is a work. And he would tell them, if your donkey fell into the ditch, would you pull it out or not? You guys are so careful for your animals, but you don't care for human beings. If you have that type of, if you're not a rigid legalist like a Pharisee, you go according to the letter of the law. Be strict with yourself. I've never allowed mercy to triumph over judgment when it comes to my own life. There I'm very strict. But in dealing with others, I have always followed this principle. Mercy must triumph over judgment. And I want to tell you that as a result of that, God has been immensely merciful to me. Immensely. And I'm deeply thankful. God is a good God. He doesn't want to. He doesn't love to punish. He loves to forgive. He loves mercy more than judgment.